Multiple Myeloma Hub Podcasts, brought to you by Scientific Education Support.
Hello, and welcome to the Multiple Myeloma Hub Podcast. Today we'll be hearing from Hira Mian from the McMaster University in Hamilton, Canada.
Thanks everybody for joining in today. Today we're going to talk about whether risk-adapted multiple myeloma treatment should be informed by age or by frailty status. So when we talk about frailty status, we throw that term around often, but what does it really mean? So frailty really is a functional term that refers to a decline in the physiological function that can lead to individuals being more vulnerable to stressors like a cancer diagnosis and chemotherapy, and really lead to poor and high risk for poor health-related outcomes. And so how do we go about measuring frailty? Now, there's a number of different frailty tools that you may have heard of. There are general geriatric tools, and then there's also more myeloma-specific tools as well. So, for example, the International Myeloma Working Group Frailty Index is one particular tool which takes into account age, comorbidities, activities of daily living, and independent activities of daily living. And then there's a number of different tools as well that have been developed, such as the Simplified Frailty Index, which again takes your ECOG performance status, age, and comorbidities. And so we have a number of different of these tools at our hands. So then the next question is, does age really dictate frailty status? And I would say, you know, age is a component of many of the frailty tools that we have that I mentioned above, but age alone does not dictate frailty status. So you can have a individual who's 75 who could be fit or frail, again, depending upon their other impairments. So using just chronological age alone is not sufficient. And then when we think about this, you know, what is the relationship between age and frailty in response to treatment? So we know from lots of clinical trial data, real-world data, that frailty is really much more predictive of these poor outcomes than chronological age alone. We know that frailty impacts both efficacy of treatment, so, you know, progression-free survival, overall survival, as well as toxicity. So frail older adults are at higher risk of treatment-related toxicity, higher risk of treatment discontinuation. And that these rates are going to be much higher than if you just use chronological age alone. And so that really brings us to the question, what should we be using to inform treatment strategies? Should we be using age or frailty status? So I would say, you know, with the wealth of data that we have, treatment strategy should really be informed by frailty status. Although, as I mentioned, you know, age is often incorporated in these tools that we use to define somebody as frail. I don't think that age alone is sufficient to make treatment decision making, especially when we have better tools like frailty status. So for frailty status, you know, we should be using it to define whether or not patients are maybe eligible for certain modalities of treatment, much more than age alone, and specifically for even things like treatment, dosing, escalation, de-escalation strategies as well, where frailty will be much more predictive than chronological age alone. And I would say lastly, especially for things like trial eligibility, chronological age alone should not exclude someone from clinical trial eligibility. So I guess in conclusion, I would say that our risk-adapted multiple myeloma treatment should really be informed by frailty status and not by chronological age alone. And we're fortunate that we do have a number of tools that have been developed, and hopefully we'll have more emerging data about how to exactly use frailty status for both deciding on what types of treatment and also around dosing, with many prospective clinical trials that will hopefully evaluate that in the next decade. So I hope you've enjoyed this session. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Multiple Myeloma Hub podcast. We would also like to thank our supporters, AbbVie, Bristol Myers Squibb, Genentech, and Roche.
Multiple Myeloma Hub Podcasts, brought to you by Scientific Education Support.